In this little book of 1 John, John has been chipping away at the same theme in verse after verse and in these five small chapters. He has been cutting and polishing the same precious stone. John's overall theme is given to us in the 5th chapter and the 13th verse. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the basic theme of the entire book. And in order for us to understand that theme better, in bringing home that theme, John has shown us facet after facet of the spiritual diamond of 1 John. And this morning he lays before us three great witnesses. And I guess a sermon has to have three points then, doesn't it? And that's basically what we're going to do. We're going to address these three great witnesses in three ways. First of all, looking at who it is who bears witness, and it is God. Verse 9 tells us that very plainly. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. And so it is God who is bearing witness. Second, what are God's open and objective witnesses then? Verse 6 gives us those witnesses. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with water only, but with water and with blood. The two great objective witnesses which are set before us are water and blood. But third, there is an internal subjective witness which is placed before us. This is given in verse 10. The one who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. The witness is spirit-born faith. That's the internal subjective witness. And these three great witnesses are in agreement, John tells us. For there are three that bear witness, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and the three are in agreement, says the Apostle John. Now, if you have the King James Version, there are some other words that are in this text in the King James Version. These are not in the more modern versions because these are words that it appears were placed in the manuscripts at a later date. And so the newer versions, rightly, I believe, do not include these particular words. But the big question then becomes for each one of us, are these witnesses, the water, the Spirit, and the blood, these three great witnesses, are they in agreement in you this morning? Well, first of all, then, it is God who is bearing witness concerning His Son. Verse 9. If we receive the witnesses of men, the witness of God is greater. We do listen to the witness or to the testimony of human beings, do we not? This last couple of weeks has been adequate testimony to the fact that we do listen to the testimony of human beings. Without a doubt, with the Supreme Court nomination of Clarence Thomas delayed for a week in order that the Senate might listen to the testimony of this young lady, Anita Hill. And was it not the case that across this nation, men and women were literally glued to their TV sets in order to hear the witness of this lady and the witness of other men and women who came forward to support her, or as the media said, to support Clarence Thomas? We do listen to the testimony, the witness of men and women. There is no doubt about it. And the question is, do we listen to the witness, the testimony of God? That's the deeper question. Verse 9 tells us, and I believe verse 9 is the center of our text this morning. That's why I'm starting there. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Let us not forget that, and let us operate on the fundamental principle that the witness of God is greater. Dear friends, this is so important. It is so important because as we look around us, the witness of men is followed more closely than the witness of God in so many cases. Keep your finger there in 1 John 5 and turn back in your Bibles, if you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. I want to read verses 1 through 6 and then give you an example of how the witness of men is followed rather than the witness of God. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, and that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Now, what would you think after hearing this particular passage of Scripture read if someone stood up and said, it's not so important where you're going, but how you're going? And suppose this person also said, I don't know where I'm going, but that's all right. And then quoted John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And then said to you, it's not important where you're going, but how you're going in this life. You know what my response to that is? And this is a true situation. Do you know what my response to that is? The witness of God is greater. We need to be paying attention to what God says. Not bending the Scriptures to our own destruction. And this is too often happening. Another example to me is the whole area of psychotherapy. Now, I'm not an expert in all of this. But did you know that there are over 230 different views and schools concerning psychotherapy? And each one of these schools, which contradicts the others, has a view concerning what you ought to look like. The Bible says we ought to look like Jesus Christ. And there's a vast difference. Yet we are very prone to follow these other views. Dear friends, the witness of God is greater. Two more quick examples. In a classroom, I just learned this a day or two ago, in a classroom, in a school, in our area, a teacher stood up and explained to her students in a health class that homosexuality is indeed a viable alternative lifestyle. God says no. The witness of God is greater. In most classrooms in colleges today, if you were to ask the question, are people basically good or are people basically bad? What do you suppose the answer would be? People are basically good, of course. And if you say they are basically bad, you are definitely in the minority. But ask, dear friends, ask the relatives of those families in Killeen, Texas, who were shot down by a gunman this past week about that. The witness of God is greater. Let's listen to the witness of God. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For the witness of God is this, that He has borne witness concerning His Son. What is the witness of God? The witness of God is this, that He has borne witness concerning His Son. Now we have to read the previous verses in this light, it seems to me. Verses 6 through 8 become for us a witness of God concerning His Son. Look at verses 6 through 8. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with water only, but with water and with blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three are in agreement. What are the water and the blood? I think if we understand this passage of Scripture correctly, the water and the blood are witnesses of God concerning His Son. And if this is actually the case, and I believe it is, then the water speaks of the baptism of Jesus, and the blood speaks of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. And these are two great witnesses of God concerning His Son. I'd like you to turn back in your Bibles now to Matthew chapter 3 and verses 13. Matthew chapter 3 and verses 13 through 17, where we have the narrative concerning the baptism of Jesus. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he permitted it. And after being baptized, Jesus went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him, and behold, a voice out of heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Here is the witness of God concerning His Son in the baptism of Jesus. Who is it that came by water? John tells us Jesus Christ came. Who was it that was baptized? The God-man. It was not, dear friends, as supposed by some, that a man, a mere man, came and was baptized, and then an emanation from God came and took hold of him at his baptism and produced of this man the Christ. You know, some believe that that's the case. And some to whom John was writing at this time believe that that was the case. No, it was the God-man who came and was baptized. And what of the blood? Well, let's turn in Matthew again. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Here is one of the narratives concerning the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 45. Now from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of those who were standing there, when they heard it, began saying, this man is calling for Elijah. And immediately one of them ran, and taking a sponge, he filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave him a drink. But the rest of them said, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split, and the tombs were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now the centurion and those who were with him, keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, became very frightened and said, truly, this was the Son of God. What was this rending of the temple veil from top to bottom? It was a testimony, a witness of God. What was this earthquake? It was a testimony of God. What was the fact that darkness fell upon the land? It was a testimony of God. And I'll tell you what, folks. Those who were there, like this centurion and others, as the scriptures tell us, when they saw what took place, they could only say one thing. Truly, this was the Son of God. And who was it that died on Calvary's cross? It was the God-man, Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 5 makes this very clear. Verse 6 tells us, this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not with the water only, but with water and with blood. It was the same Son of God, the God-man, Jesus Christ, who was on that cross. There were some believing at the time that this emanation of the Spirit was taken away from this man so that it wasn't a God-man who died on the cross. It was a mere man. No. Jesus Christ came by water and by blood. These are the objective witnesses of God. Now, what about the inner witness? I'd like you to look at verse 10 now. The one who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. What is the inner witness? The one who believes, John says, the one who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. In other words, if you believe in Jesus Christ, who came into this world as the God-man, lived a holy and righteous life, died on Calvary's cross to pay the penalty due to you for your sins, was raised again, you believe in this. John is saying to you, you have the witness in yourself. What is that witness? Faith. Spirit-born faith. Verse 10 again. The one who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. The one who does not believe has made him, that is God, a liar, because he has not believed in the witness God has borne concerning his Son. You see, the point is this, dear friends, that you have to believe in the testimony of God. The testimony of God is greater. There are those today who do not believe. In fact, they will fight you tooth and nail on what we're talking about this morning. The Mormons, they do not believe that Jesus is the second person of the Trinity who came in the flesh and died on the cross. The Jehovah's Witnesses, they're not witnesses for Jehovah, the God of the Bible. They're false witnesses. They don't believe in this Jesus. The Unitarians, they don't believe in this Jesus either. They take the position he was a mere man. Those who are of a liberal persuasion in the Christian church today, they don't believe in this Jesus. They're not Christians. See, this is the point. The one who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar. This is why it's so important to believe the witness of God. The witness of God is greater when you believe, when you have that spirit-born faith. Do you remember what we talked about last week? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That real faith in Jesus Christ precedes, or the new birth, I should say. Don't let me get it backwards. The new birth precedes real faith in Jesus Christ. That's why John speaks the way he does in verse 10. And he goes on in verses 11 and 12, and the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Dear friends, eternal life is in Jesus Christ, the God-man, and those who believe in him have the life. That's what John is telling us. And if you don't believe in this testimony of God, then you don't have the life. That's what verse 12 tells us. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. And so now it comes down to this. How do you know that you have the Son of God? How do you know that you have this eternal life? Well, the witness of God is this. That Jesus Christ, His Son, came into the world. And when John baptized Him, the Father said, "This is My beloved Son." Do you believe that? And this Son of God then lived a perfect life and shed His blood on a cross to pay for the sins of people like us. Do you believe that? Can you stand with the Apostle Paul and say, "He loved me and gave Himself up for me"? He came by water and by blood. Those are two witnesses. And if you have Spirit-born faith, if you believe in this witness of God, you have the Son. That's the wonderful point of assurance. Look at verse 10. "The one who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself." Is that where you are this morning? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for the three great witnesses: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And thank you, Father, that these three witnesses are in agreement. I pray, Father, that these witnesses will be in agreement in our hearts. And may this, Father, then turn to real assurance that we know that we have the Son. But Father, let us not be deceived in this. So that if we know that we don't have the Son, may we be turned to You by Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, so that we do have the Son. Grant it in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.